What's going on with everybody? This your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels, the host of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Yo, you guys, man, sit tight, grab your popcorn, go get a Hot Pocket, man, get some cereal, grab your beverage, man, whether that's some milk, a beer, a soda, or some water, man. Sit tight, man. This is the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling, where I interview some of your favorite ring announcers, referees, independent pro wrestlers, you name it, man. You name it, you guys. You tune in, and I'm about to chat some wrestling, man. So sit tight, you guys, and welcome to the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. And yo, ring the bell! Yo, what it do, everybody? It's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. This is episode 36 of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. What's going on with everybody out there? Appreciate you guys joining me back here for another episode. You dig, man? Good morning, good night, good afternoon to all my listeners across the world. Everybody, all my listeners, man, in Canada, Germany, the UK, all over the States. Appreciate you guys joining me back here for another episode. You dig, man? If you're listening to me or you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit that subscribe button down below. Like this video, share it, man. Leave a comment and all that good stuff, man. And also, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. But you guys, man, happy New Year's. I'm glad you guys joining me back here on the podcast, man. It's 2021 already, man. So, hey, some crazy things going on in DC itself, you know what I mean? DC. So, but hey, man, it's Talk Pro Wrestling, and it's time to talk some pro wrestling, you guys. But this week's guest is a dope guest lined up for me today, you guys, on the podcast. Very excited. My man, Stan Michaels, you guys, he's the host of Talk of Champions. Yes, and he's also training to be a pro wrestler. It's going to be fun. We're going to chop it up and pick his brain coming up in just a bit on the show, you guys. But before we get to that, I want to shout out my guest, June Jackson, independent pro wrestler who was on last week. Shout out to June. Appreciate you joining me here on the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. But you guys, like I was saying, my guest this week, my man, and Stan Michaels. Yes, you guys, he's the host of Talk of Champions. He's about to be joining me right now, you guys, all the way from New York City, you guys. My man Stan, what's going on with you, bro?
Chilling, bro. I'm chilling. Thank you for having me, man. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining me, man. Thank you for joining me. How's your day going so far?
The day, you know, I'm just another day above ground is a good one.
Hey, I feel you about that, man. I feel you about that. For some of my viewers who are here and joining me this week on the podcast, who is not familiar with you, can you tell them something, you know, cool about you?
Oh shit. Well, where do I begin? No, we stop. Well, like you mentioned, I'm a host, co-founder of Talk of Champions. It's our own platform that we built from the ground up almost about a year ago, back in April, like when the whole COVID thing started. We got me and my co-host Shantice Hearts. We got picked up. We got asked to join another wrestling show called UPR. So we were over there with them. We started with them, and then we realized, like, oh snap, we got a cool little chemistry going on here. People like when we on the show. They like when we talk or whatever. They want to see us. So. Eventually we just evolved into just doing our own thing. And then after that, it was just, we just been real successful at that. I mean, relatively for, you know, just taking a shot in the dark. We just coming out, we have no background in trying to do anything crazy. We just turned the camera on and started talking wrestling. People started tuning in. So like, it was dope to get that support from everybody. You know, we met a lot of dope people, you know, along the way, you know, but, you know, that even led me into, like, also, as you said, to me finding my way into the ring. I know a guy in O-Town. He runs a wrestling school. I was put into contact with him, T2T, Technique Training Wrestling School. And, you know, I was blessed to stumble upon this place. And I've just been training for the last, like, about 5 months now. And it's just made me love this wrestling shit even more, man. Can I curse? I'm sorry.
Hey, man, you good, man. You all good. You all good, man. That's what's up, man. Man, like, I be on Facebook, man, and that's kind of how we stumble across each other. You're the host of Talk of Champions, and you got your group and your podcast, man. And, you know, you're familiar with Dre from your sports show. He was on here. And, you know, you guys are just a whole community. And, you know, the black community, you know, supporting wrestling. I dig it, man. I really dig it. And the podcast, I was also watching it. You guys was, you know, like I was talking to you a couple of days ago. You guys were talking about New Jack, you know, on the podcast and everything, man. New Jack is something else, though. But can you tell me? Yeah, go ahead.
I just said it's funny you brought up Dre and New Jack. I'll start with New Jack first because it's short. But, like, it's so funny you mentioned New Jack. Now, we just put up a meme because there was a meme. I think New Jack made this, actually. He put it on Jim Cornette's fan page or whatever because they cool or whatever. Put it on the fan page. It was him diving off the top of the Congress board on top of one of the talking about Bob's away or whatever. But that's just that tickled me. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. But yeah, shout out to Dre, shout out to Sir Wilkins, shout out to Yarly, Matt, Janelle, the whole Jobatius family. They kind of like they kind of took us in when we was doing our own thing. You know, they kind of gave us a quote-unquote introduction or a look into, like you said, this black wrestling community and all that, because we kind of tapped into it. Like, oh snap, there might be a lane here for us. And then we're like, oh snap, there's a community here of us already. So let's hook up with that. So it's just been real dope to hook up with the Year Sports, the Jobatius and all that. They're just a blessing too.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Of course, man, you talk about wrestling on your podcast, but can you tell me and also my listeners just something about your podcast and, you know, what days it come out?
Well, right now we're on break.
Okay.
Right now we took a break for the holidays and New Year's, whatever, but we will be back. We switched from Tuesdays to Thursdays. This is, I guess, an official announcement. We started out doing every Tuesday, either 9 or 10 or 8 or whatever. We let y'all know ahead of time, but we're gonna be airing on Thursdays now because it's just cohesive to our schedules now. So 121-21, we're back and we're covering the Royal Rumble, your favorite Royal Rumble moments and all that. Yeah, man, we like to really talk about, like, old school wrestling, to be honest with you too. Like, you know, neither me or Hearts are big fans of this current crap of what's going on. Like, I'm still tapping, I still watch whatever because, you know, I'm still trying to learn and all that. I still enjoy it, I still love it. But yeah. The glory days is behind us. So, like, we kind of bring back that nostalgic feeling when we found out that, like, there's a lot of people that, like, you know, they might not be too so tapped into what's going on now, but, you know, they appreciate that attitude era, even that ruthless aggression, or the golden era, or the new generation era, you know. So, like, that's what we kind of tap in.
Okay. I feel you, my guy. I feel you. You say you're wrestling, you're getting into it, but how did wrestling find you? You know, how did you find wrestling?
Well, it was by fate, really. I guess you could say, because what was it? I had put out there on Facebook one day, random. I was like, yo, I would just love to have an opportunity to step in the ring or just go and work out or try something, whatever. And then, like, the day after, shout out to NWO Sparrow. I saw, like, a picture of him at a wrestling facility, it looked like. And it looked like he was at, like, an open house. So I hit him. I'm like, hey, yo, what's going on with that? Let me get more information. So he put me in contact with, dude, I told you before, Tom, the promoter, the owner of the school. Come to find out, me and Tom have a mutual big homie, and my man Veg, Big Veg, I know him from my hometown. He helped me get started when I'm doing my music and all that stuff, because I'm an R&B artist too. So now I'm kind of, all right, this world is too small here. This block is too small. We circling around meeting the same kind of folks and all that. So, like, it was cool. Vez, I told Vez what's going on. I talked to Tom. Tom's like, yo, you're good, come through. And Tom's been nothing but good to us from there on out. And this, the trainer, I can't say enough about the trainers at the school. It's just a dope culture that we built over there. Cause you know, you hear a lot of shit about, you know, how, like the toxic in the wrestling mm-hmm. industry and all that. And you know, it's definitely out there, you know, don't get it fucked up. But I'm proud of the fact that at Technique to Training at our school that we have built like a culture of like encouragement. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna empower you to, you know, strive you to do better. You know, we're not gonna let you come in and disrespect the craft or whatever, or yourself or whatever, but you know, it's not gonna, nobody's gonna call you a piece of shit either, you know what I'm saying, if you don't get something right. So it's just dope. I can't say nothing about it.
Okay. That's what's up, my guy. What about wrestling, or just what about, you know, you trying to be a wrestler that inspires you?
Oh man. I guess the same thing that kind of inspired me to get into R&B and do my music thing. Like I, from a young age, I'm watching this stuff. I'm watching these guys, like in wrestling, I'm watching, you know, The Rock and Triple H come up when they were young. You know, and they caught me from when they were doing their thing. I'm watching the NWO happen in front of me, and I'm watching these giants, these larger than life, like Steve Austin's coming up in the game, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels was kind of on his way out by the time I started really getting into. What was that, like 7, 8? Like it's like 7, 8, whatever. Shawn Michaels kind of out of the loop, or whatever. But it was like these giants, they're like Hulk Hogan, fuck him. But you know what I'm saying? Like these giants that just inspired you to want to be larger than life. Then you go on to the R&B side, it's the same thing. Michael Jackson, like Stevie Wonder, people like that. And I want to emulate what I see, emulate what I hear. And then when I do it, I found out like, yo, like especially on like the singing side, that's more obvious or whatever. I never got a chance to step in the ring or whatever, but I could sit here and like say like, yo, I could do that. So then I'm athletic at the same token. So I had an athletic background when I was a kid. I had an athletic background now. I was a shoot wrestler in high school and all that stuff. So now it's just like, all right, you love this, you're athletic, you could do it. You're young enough, you have the opportunity to, why not go for it? You know? Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, my guy. You talked about music and you're an R&B guy. How did that come about?
Oh, no, that came before everything. That came before, this wrestling shit is new.
Okay.
Like honestly, I've loved wrestling all my life and all that. So I've been so it's a blessing now that I'm actually able to like expound upon it. But like my whole life has always been about like music and singing. I'm a singer. I'm a writer. Some folks will just found out I can rap now too. Why? I'm a drummer at my church and shit like that. So it's like, you know, my music side is really the more predominant side. What was the predominant side of me in my first, you know, go around of life. But I'm stepping into this new arena and just like seeing a whole new world and just seeing how I can, you know, elevate my brand, you know, all together, you know, like the show's doing dope. And, you know, I just want to keep seeing whatever, you know, sky's the limit.
Hey, that's what's up, man. The sky is the limit for you, my guy. A question I got for you. Besides the in-ring action and the storytelling, what's one of your favorite things about wrestling?
Besides the in-ring action and the storytelling, like I said, like just the larger than life figures. Like, and when I say larger than life, I don't know, maybe expound upon that, because everybody hears that terminology so much. It's just like comes, you know, arbitrary. But like when I say larger than life, I mean somebody that is representing, somebody that represents something powerful, somebody that really stands for something, that really is going to achieve something, conquer his goals and stuff, conquer their enemies, conquer their obstacles, you know, because that's what life is, conquering obstacles and mm-hmm. getting to the top and getting to as far as you can get it. And I feel like wrestling is just like a human version of that. Like I mentioned, like Triple H and The Rock before. Like watching those two go at it from since they was pups, since Rocky came into it. The first match together was in Survivor Series 96, right? Yeah. Like just the fact that those two had each other as adversaries, as rivals, to push each other to greater heights. You know, it just brought out the best of them. Rocky became a movie star. Triple H became boss of his company. You know what I'm saying? Marry the boss's daughter. And so, like, that force, that driving force, like, that driving force that makes you bigger than your situation, that makes you rise above. And that's what I really take away from wrestling.
Okay. That's what's up. That's what's up. My favorite moment, or my favorite thing about wrestling, you know, besides the storytelling and the in-ring action, it's kind of weird, but my favorite is the pyros. I'm a big fan of the pyros. I remember, you know, for a while, they, you know, didn't have pyros. The superstars didn't have pyros. And I was just like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, the opening and everything. I was really a big fan of that. You know, the whole opening intro going in pyro. And sometimes they do it here and now and there, but every now and then I was just like, this sucks. I always predicted, like, if the show didn't start off with the pyros or the intro, the show was going to suck.
Maybe that's why the current product been the way it's been the last few years, because they just got pyro back and it's still mid. But what?
Yeah, man. What's your favorite brand in WWE? Is you a Raw guy or SmackDown guy?
These days I'm very much a SmackDown guy. Very much a SmackDown guy, and I'm just there. It is. Roman Reigns is the one right now. The Usos are my favorite tag team of all time. Of all time, I don't care who they face. I'm picking the Usos. I love the fact that Big E is finally stepping up, and being the superstar that we knew he was gonna be years ago when he was Dolph Ziggler's mans.
You know?
You know what I'm saying? He's putting it all together for him. He's getting his momentum going. Sasha Banks, oh my God, I've loved Sasha Banks since NXT. I've hated what they've done with her over the last few years with Bayley, making her an underling, and then she never defended any of her championships. But nah, Sasha's the one right now. She's got her Star Wars look. And guess what? Guess what? Paul Heyman pointed this out too. It's because of the reasons I just named. Those people, that SmackDown has seen a surge in the ratings over the last few months. While Raw's taken a downfall to record all-time lows, nearing AEW and NXT numbers. But
That's crazy, man. I was always, as growing up, I was always a Raw guy because, of course, it's live. SmackDown at one point, you know, wasn't live, you know, until they moved to USA on Tuesdays and before they moved to Fox. You know, that's when they came live. And, man, I agree right with you. You know, Roman Reigns, you know, I was always a Roman Reigns supporter right before the whole Tribal Chief and everything. And some people just, of course, you know, doubted Roman Reigns and just was like, oh, man, I'm not believing in what he's doing. But now, man, he's just.
Well, you know what that was, right? It wasn't him. You know what that was, right?
Explain. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. In 2013, right? Now, we're going to go back here. 2013, Batista had come back to the WWE, right? And people were pissed because they were like, why is this big old main event guy coming in and taking up the spots, right, part-time? He come in. It's him and Roman Reigns in the last two in the Royal Rumble.
I see where you're going. Okay.
The crowd is booing Batista and cheering Roman Reigns, who is in the Shield, by the way, the hottest thing on the show, right? And why is it the hottest thing on the show? Oh, that's right. Roman Reigns, right? Okay. So, they're cheering Roman. They're booing Batista. They're upset Roman didn't win. They wanted Batista to lose. They go to WrestleMania. They do the Daniel Bryan thing because Daniel Bryan's on fire at this point. Yes, yes, yes. Daniel Bryan gets hurt. He can't go no more. So, now the WWE is saying, okay, what are we going to do? Our star's down. Let's rehash and get that guy that they were cheering for back at the Rumble. We're going to make him win it this year, coming up in 2014. Problem with that is they bring Daniel Bryan back at this Royal Rumble, and they eliminate him, I think, what was he? Fairly quickly, in and out, right? This pissed the fans off right then and there. That's what killed Roman Reigns, right then and there. When they threw Daniel Bryan out of that 2014 Royal Rumble, after they wanted him to make his comeback after having to advocate the titles and being injured and all that, supposed to be his comeback year, they said, nah, we're going to give it to the new guy that they want to push, who just so happened to be Roman Reigns. Not even The Rock could save him. Rock came out there. They booed The Rock too. And ever since then, Roman Reigns has got the shit bag, and they've been doing nothing up until recently to bring him out of that shit bag.
I feel you, man. That is something interesting because, like you said, man, my favorite is The Rock. All-time favorite is The Rock. So for him to come out and try to give his cousin a little bit of the rub, but the fans didn't, you know, want him to win. And I feel you, you're right. I think there was 2015, though. 2015, because 2014 was WrestleMania 30. He went on. Daniel Bryan went on. That's when Batista won the Royal Rumble. But yeah, the following year.
I might get the years mixed up. Yeah, but I know,
you're right. And that's kind of where it all went down. But Roman Reigns, man, is doing his thing on SmackDown. I'm loving it. Yeah, and Raw has just been sucked ass. You mentioned legends such as Rock and Triple H, and you know the fact that they are bringing back the legends. But I think that's the problem now. They're bringing back the legends, but you know, are pushing aside the younger talents. Like Mustafa Ali made a great point on Raw Talk this past Monday, you know, just talking about, you know, the fact that all these legends keep coming back and pushing away the young talents instead of, you know, pushing and having these younger stars get right. attention.
Dre, I'm gonna ask you a question real quick. Have you ever seen the section of Talk of Champions where I hand out a cap?
No, I haven't seen that section.
Hold on, I'm gonna bring this up. I'm gonna bring this to you. I'm gonna bring this to your show. Give me one second. I'm coming. This right now is called Cap. This is custom of Stan Michael to give caps out to those who lie. This is a cap. This is gonna be a cap for Mr. Mustafa Ali and every young talent that thinks that the older guys coming in takes away. All right, so let's keep it a stack here, right? Why do they even have to go back and get the older talent? Because the newer guys aren't over. We're not even talking about the fact that these guys are these guys like you, and they just said you're not there every week. You're there part time. You might show up 2 days out of the year. The rest of the year, what are you guys doing to get over and make your mark and get over the mass amounts of fans and all that stuff? That doesn't sound like a Legends issue. That sounds like a you and a writing issue and a Vince McMahon issue, okay? So don't put it on Bill Goldberg now, because let's keep it a whole stack, because I'll get there in a minute. When Bill Goldberg first did come back, and I'm not even talking about when he first came to WWE, I'm talking about when he came back to face Brock at Survivor Series, that popped off. And my thing about guys like Mustafa Ali in particular, you're dead ass in the middle of the most jokish story concept in wrestling right now in Retribution. Everybody's laughing at you right now. You're not going to tell me that Hulk Hogan, 85 years old, coming to the show and having about 5 minutes of TV time is taking away from you, sir, kindly. I believe that there's a time and a, but I do think there's credence to that. I believe there is a time and a place to have your legends come back, because they do benefit. And stupid guys that don't realize, hey, you make more money when the guys coming in generate it, because you're not. So if you want this in your pocket, how about this? Take it up with your boss. Take it up with Vince McMahon, who allows the show to go down the way that it's going down. Don't put it on Hulk Hogan, who's just coming back and might even pop. And I don't even like this guy, Hulk Hogan. But don't put it on him, because he comes back and somebody might recognize the name and actually watch the show for once. At least they're watching the show. Now you have, come on, son. What are you going to do to keep them there, Mr. Ali? I'm sorry. I just don't like that narrative. I don't like it.
Hey, I feel you. You are right, man. You are right. You know, these younger guys is not really doing it. You know, like, the only hottest thing right now is Roman. I mean, they trying it with Drew McIntyre over on Monday Night Raw. I don't know what's up with the Fiend situation right now. And then, you know, I mean,
they killed the Fiend. The Fiend could have been so cool. They killed that thing years ago. That thing could have been so cool.
Why you say they killed it?
Oh, I think the Fiend was dead after that whole Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, okay, okay.
After that, I was like, all right, it's over. This is bullshit.
Was it because of the sledgehammer or the ending?
The sledgehammer, the pots, the pans, and then on and then ultimately the disqualification. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is what you guys... No, I'm good. I don't need it. I don't need it. I was so upset, and it coincided with the game, too, because the game was trashed that year, 2020, which they built around the paint. I deleted the game. I deleted it, and I got back 2K19.
I never got 2K20. I never got it because I heard it was that bad.
Don't. It is that bad.
Yo, Stan, man, I appreciate you joining me here on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling, man. We're going to take a quick short break. And on the other side, man, we're going to talk some more Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, all that wrestling, man. All that good stuff, man. I appreciate you joining me. You guys sit tight here on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. And we'll be right back here on the other side.
You have a lot to say. Maybe you've thought, I should start a podcast. Meet Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. It's a powerful mobile app and web tool that lets you record a podcast anywhere and distribute it everywhere. It's great whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out. And it's 100% free. You can record your show straight into Anchor on your phone, iPad, or the web, using any mic you want. Record alone or with friends or co-hosts anywhere in the world. You can add background music and transitions, and your listeners can send you voice messages that you can incorporate right into your next episode. If you want to produce your show using another app, you can upload your own audio directly from web or mobile and still take advantage of Anchor's totally free podcast hosting. Once your podcast is ready to publish, Anchor can automatically distribute it to every major podcast platform. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, so your listeners can hear your show wherever they want. And on the web, you can see detailed analytics about how people are listening. Plus, you'll get a great-looking profile page where anyone can listen to your podcast or subscribe to it. And if you want to ask your audience to support your work, Anchor makes it easy to collect monthly payments from the people who love your podcast and want to see it grow. You really don't need a recording studio, expensive equipment, or a bunch of technical knowledge to deal with a podcast feed. Just get started and join the diverse community of podcasters already on Anchor. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
Guys, welcome back here to the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. I got my guy Stan in the building, you guys. He's the host of Talk of Champions, you guys. He's joining me here on the podcast this week, chatting it up, chopping it up about some wrestling, man, of course. What we was leaving on, we were talking about Raw and SmackDown. Well, we're going to jump into some SmackDown, of course, that took place last Friday on Fox. SmackDown, man, like I was saying before the break, is the better show in my opinion. Roman Reigns, man, and the Uso. When do you think Jimmy is going to come in this story?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Like I told you, I can't remember if I told you in the last segment or if I said this on break, but the Usos are my all-time favorite tag team.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Jey Uso is getting this little bit of main event rub, I am in love with it. So all this is going to do, you can't have these two separate. You can't have two guys that look the same do separate things on the show. You can't do that. You're going to have them come back and be a tag team, and that's where I'm looking forward to see these guys reunited as a tag team and see what kind of levels they take it to now.
Okay. Do you think Jimmy is going to resist?
He might. I mean, they might try to drag this a little bit because they know, you know, it got ratings. It was successful, so they might try to drag it. But I wouldn't mind if he fell right in. It would make sense for him to fall right in. Fall in line. But what you gonna do?
Yeah. You say you're a big fan of Sasha, man. I love Sasha. But do you feel as though she was the rightful female superstar of the year, or Bayley should have won that?
Oh, it's like asking who's the bigger star, Austin or The Rock. And I mean that in a much smaller scale because, like, obviously they're not Steve Austin or The Rock, but in that comparison, it's like if you're looking at it in a wrestling bubble, it's clearly Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley was the champ the whole time. Bayley was the one holding it down. She was the catalyst for Sasha's, I guess, title reign now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side of it, you got, if you look outside of the wrestling bubble, Sasha kind of broke into mainstream with this Star Wars look. and she is now and she closed out the year with the hell of a championship reign and looks and all that stuff. Like, it's hard. It's hard. It really depends on what you're looking for. I'ma just biasly give it to Sasha though.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. This last Friday, we seen the return of Sonya Deville. What you think they're gonna do with her?
Okay, so that's interesting. So, like you mentioned last time, I was training, right? So, like, since I started training, I started watching all the Tough Enoughs again. I watched all Tough Enoughs.
That's cool.
All six seasons of the Tough Enoughs, right?
Yeah.
And Sonya Deville was on the last season, season six.
Yeah.
And the fact, I love when people get kicked off of Tough Enough and then they come back and they just be killing it and they're better than the ones that whatever.
Yeah.
Love it. Love to see Sonya, Sonya Blade. Sonya Deville. Love to see her in the mix. I'm glad she's back. I mean, you know, that whole crazy stalker thing was kind of wild, but like, I like her and Mandy Rose. I'm interested to see where or if they go there. Mandy Rose looks really good, by the way. By the way, she put on some weight. You know, the shorty's been working, whatever you can see. And shout out to my Tough Enough babies or whatever. I want good things for them. Good things for them.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Big E, of course, is the new Intercontinental Champion. He won it at the last Friday Night SmackDown of the year. Was the highest rated SmackDown, as you guys were reporting. That's what's up, man. Who you think? Well, what you think is next for Big E?
Well, he's got to hold down the Intercontinental title for a while because he ain't touching the Universal one no time soon. Because that one right there belongs to the big dog, Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. So you best hold down that IC belt. And that's a good look for him, honestly, all jokes aside. Him as the Intercontinental Champion is the best option for it, in my opinion. He's the second most rising star on SmackDown that's a male. You know, so I would definitely, you know, plug him in there. It's great to see the representation. It's great to see a black man. They can see people of color, you know, Sasha, Roman, you know what I'm saying? Great to see people in SmackDown. Round of applause for SmackDown. SmackDown's doing good things. Shout out Street Profits on Raw too. Love to see it.
That's how. That's what's up. That's what's up. Another thing, Biggie, before I move on to that, Biggie was on Talking Smack, and Paul Heyman was just saying, you know, the next step is, you know, the Universal Champion after, you know, winning that Intercontinental title for Biggie. So it's like, do you see Biggie versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Because obviously they can't get The Rock. They can't get The Rock in because everybody wanted that big match. So,
all right. Well, I hope for everything they don't do that. I hope they don't do that because it's too early. Way too early for Big E to be getting fed to Roman Reigns. Way too early for that. I love Roman Reigns, but I don't even want that for Big E, right? That's not right. But going back to the Paul Heyman thing, like, I love Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has been saying everything to Big E that I've been wanting to say to this man over the last 5 years. Paul Heyman's been getting in this man's ear, and I love to see it. Love to see it. He's getting his motivation on. But he's right. In times past, when you were the Intercontinental Champion, that meant you were the next up. When they gave you the Intercontinental title, that meant when Ultimate Warrior got the Intercontinental, that meant that was a sign. You're going to be the next one. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, right? Steve, these are steps. That's a stepping stone to get to the next level. So the fact that he has this belt now, that you know, hell, Kofi won the WWE Championship, and he had already won his
Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, he had already done that. Or whatever. So Kofi's been there a while. He was a veteran. So now it's Big E's time. This is the first time we really get to see him have an extended singles period like this. So it's great for him. I'm so happy that he's finally getting this ball and rumble. And he's going to kill it, too.
Hey, I'm looking for it. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to move on to Monday Night Raw, man, which was Very, very bad Raw. We were already talking about how the Legends came back. I think the only interesting thing that came out of Raw this past week was Toy Wilson telling Angel Garza to go find Cardi B, and which started the whole trend and the whole trend of Cardi B on Twitter on Monday night. What's your thoughts on that?
All right, can I respectfully scold my wrestling fans out here? Wrestling fans need to be scolded right now. And I'm going to come from love when I say these things. So bear with me. Y'all got to understand that, like, no one outside this wrestling shit give a fuck or know a fuck about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm seeing a lot of people, oh, it was a work. Oh, it was a... Do y'all really think Cardi B knows what a work is? Do you actually think she is astute to the product like that? Mm-hmm. Because you sit down and subscribe to the WWE Network and you watch New Japan, Ultimate Kingdom, whatever they had across the river. Do you think that they're not caring? This is mainstream media. They haven't been wrestling hasn't been relevant in mainstream media since the days of Steve Austin and The Rock. So the fact that Cardi B is out here using the language that she's using, calling her this white lady using... Here's one. I'll ask you this. If Cardi B is doing business or work with the WWE, is she going to put out there what could be construed as a rape, as a racial slur?
Nah, she wouldn't. She wouldn't be doing all that.
Would she use the word fucking?
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I go on and I see these wrestling fans, and I said, all right, look, we need to slow our roles here and appreciate the fact. Now, wait, hold up. And now we get to Lacey, because this was a missed opportunity here, because I know what she was trying to do. I feel like I know what she was trying to do, but she didn't do it the right way. She was trying to get some heat, trying to stir up some shit. I get some heat. I'm not against that, because you are a heel, much to the credit of what wrestling fans were saying. Oh, she's a heel. Whatever. Y'all go too far. But since we're going to take that line of thought, you got to realize that there's a way to go about certain things. If you want to start some shit with Cardi B, who's actually putting your ass over because God knows nobody's watching your ass. Mm-hmm. But she's talking about your brand and having people, you know, chirp and tweet and retweet about WWE because Lord knows you don't. And you can take that. You could come at her a little bit. You could come at her a little bit, but don't cross the line. You cross the line off rip. Talking about you gonna send her home with a black eye. See, what I would have did was I would have said something a little bit more tongue in cheek, and then extended the invite because I know the fact that her and WWE were already in talks about possibly working. So I would leave that invitation open and be like, and make it so. Do you really think after this, Cardi's gonna want to work with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, bro, you asked me to do your podcast. If I had gone on to another show or whatever, or you have gone to another thing or whatever, saying yeah, I'm gonna have Stan Michael on the show, but I'm gonna punch him in the eye. Do you think I'm gonna want to come on the show? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why I feel like Lacey fucked up, and I hope that Cardi fans eat her alive for it. I think they did, and that's how I feel. Missed opportunity, bro. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, when I saw the tweet of Lacey Evans, I was like, damn, you just needed to shut up. Like, I think even if they had Cardi B or whether it was a work or whatnot, man, I just think Lacey Evans was just trying to bite off more than she can, you know, chew or whatnot. But, man, that was crazy.
Nicki Minaj, like, what is wrong with you?
Exactly. Another thing about Raw, Goldberg. Everybody is kind of pissed off that Goldberg is back. You made the statement early in the show is, you know, some of wrestling fans or wrestling fans in general just need to just shut up and watch it, the product, or turn it off, you know?
Well, wait a minute, because there's another side of that. because on this night, they were right.
Okay.
On this night, wrestling fans had it right. Because now, I said that from a perspective of someone who came up in wrestling. And when we had legends come back, we had legends come back. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
It meant something.
Yeah.
It meant something when Shawn Michaels came back from his back injury. You know what I'm saying? It meant something when Steve Austin came back. You know, when legends come back. We don't have any more legends, bro. They're all either dead, too old to do something, to do anything or really work an angle, or we see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mark Henry out there. Like, we don't see Mark Henry in the Big Show every week.
Torrey Wilson. The Boogeyman.
Didn't they have, who was it there? God, Tatanka. God bless him. God bless him. But come on, listen. Tatanka's still on the indie circuit. He's still doing his thing. Shout out to him. You know what I'm saying? But, and this is no disrespect to Tatanka, like himself, as the man, as the performer. But when we reach to the point where these are the legends that we bring back. Hogan and Ric Flair don't even hit like that no more. Mostly because Hogan's a freaking racist and Ric Flair's done had quadruple, duple, duple bypass surgery. He can't even do much anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all of that stuff is past us. We've passed that nostalgia era. So now you bring back Goldberg, right? Now let's talk about Mr. Goldberg, who is in shape, by the way, Not like, you know, and I love Sting, but he's not like Sting. We're actually going to get to see something out of Goldberg, right? But he comes out, and I swear to God, maybe you got some inside knowledge on this, because this is what I saw. I saw a man that was prepared for months to face and talk to Roman Reigns, and he got in the ring, and they called the audible on him last minute. They let him go out there and speak with no script. And consequently, he talked and rambled on about things that Drew McIntyre never said or represented in his character. He left Drew McIntyre with no time to respond because the little credit was coming up. They were going off the air. And then he shoved Drew McIntyre on his ass, and that's how things went off the air. So now, I'm confused because they just spent the last year trying to make Drew McIntyre their number one guy, their number one babyface. They're just now starting to really catch some fire with it because they struggled all year with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They started like literally catch some fire because they gave him fire pyro and the kilt and all that and the sword. Like, okay, now he's starting to roll. And as soon as you do this, you bring in Goldberg, who totally misses the mark on his promo. Not only that, buries him to the point where the man can't even respond. I love that dad line, though. That dad line was awesome. And now you push him on his ass. What am I supposed to think about this badass Drew McIntyre now?
You are right.
What happened? Somebody needs to answer for that last segment on Raw. Something happened back there. Something happened back there because Goldberg went out there and he was way off topic.
He was.
Way off topic.
He was way off. And I was trying to figure out what the hell is he talking about.
He thought he was better than anybody.
Yeah, you're right. Only thing Drew said is, man, I come out there and I work my ass off, you know? And if you don't deserve to be here, then you need to leave. He never said he's better than anybody. That's all he said. And it seemed like Goldberg took it out of context.
So who's the heel here? Is it if you ask me, look, the way I saw it, Goldberg is the heel.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Goldberg's the heel. But the way they set it up, he came out like McIntyre's this young punk kid. He's almost like he was talking to Randy Orton. Like Randy Orton's the one that's going around kicking legends around. He's the one that sent Mark Henry off on his scooter. Why are you talking to Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre said, I'm here working. I'm working hard. He's going to Drew McIntyre. Yo.
Yo, that's what's
up. Yo, they lost me, bro. And then somebody needs to answer for this shit.
you are right, man. You are right.
Bruce!
Yo, another thing that's going on, or it was trending this past week, Booker T is in a new music video.
Hold on, bro. I got something. Oh, I'm sorry. I do this. This is the real world belt. You brought up Booker T, and we got to go here. That's the real one. I got a story for you. Because in 2004, Chris Benoit killed his family, and I had a little world wrestling belt like this, and if you can see it, it says Chris Benoit on it. I went to an independent wrestling show at my high school. Booker T was there. I asked him, do you want to sign my belt that says Chris Benoit? He said, oh, come on, man. And then he signed it for me. So whatever we're about to say about Booker T from here on out, realize that happened to me, and I'm going to be completely unbiased.
Hey, that's what's up. That's a cool story. That's a real cool story. But what you think about him in a new music video?
Oh my God, somebody come get Booker. Yo, Booker's been out of pocket for like the last, like, what's going on with Booker, bro? Talk to me. Why are you attacking the black women in wrestling? Why are you attacking Naomi and Sasha for no reason?
I heard
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, that's... man. Why aren't you saying nothing about Lana?
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard some of it. Now, what was actually said?
Well, first of all, okay, with the Naomi thing, that stemmed from fans tweeting, and I partially, to be honest with you, I partially agreed with Booker on this, and it was partially me agreeing, and part of me not wanting to believe what I was kind of hearing, but wanting to clean it up for him. But like, it stemmed from part of it because the fans tweeted out like, "Yo, she was in Naomi was in like a karaoke segment on SmackDown, and they were like, yo, Naomi deserves better because, you know, whatever." Booker came out and said, "Yo, Naomi don't deserve nothing. She need to work on her stuff and then she'll earn it." Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that mindset, but nobody asked you. You know what I'm saying? Nobody asked you to come out. And of all the things that we see go down on the internet, this was the one that you felt that you needed to speak out on? All right. So that's one. Number two, and this was really bad because I like Sasha. I love Naomi. She's married to she's a black woman married to my favorite tag team. Okay? All right, you got me. You won. But Sasha, I've loved, that's been my wifey for how long until things, my life changed. And then, I got Booker out here saying, yo, I don't like Sasha Banks. I have a person, it's a personal thing. It's a personal issue. And it was on an episode of Talking Smack. And it was like, wait a minute, if you don't like her and it's a personal, why are you burying her on television? Why are you burying her on your podcast? Why are you saying these things about her and it's personal and it's not leading anywhere to business? All you're doing is just shitting and throwing dirt on the wall. And it's just like, why? Why? What's going on? He's talking about maybe it's her attitude. I don't like when people talk about attitude in black women and use that as an indictment. I don't like that. That doesn't sit right with me when I hear things like that. So I was kind of, I was kind of cooling on Booker for a little bit. And then he comes out and says that The Rock stole all his catchphrases.
Oh, that was my next one I was about to get to. That was the next one.
Hold on. All I got to say about that is
that doesn't matter.
No, not even that. I got you. That's one better. I know you remember this one. Who in the blue hell are you?
Yes.
Oh, wait, yeah. Let's go take it further. I'm the WCW champion, sucker. You're the WCW champion, sucker.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all I got to say about that. Just cut it out, bro. Just cut it out.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of it is clout. I think a lot of it is clout. He had the Bad Bunny video that did like 23 million views in a day. Shout mm-hmm. out to you, Booker. He's living his best life. Just ease up on the black women. That's all.
Hey, that's what's up, man. I was coming at that one next. I was like, hold up, wait a minute. Now, Booker, you doing your thing, but The Rock, nah, man. You ain't about to come at my man Rock like that, though. You ain't about to come out of my man Rock like that. But
Booker didn't start using the bookend until 99. Mm-hmm. The Rock was using the Rock Bottom since 97.
Exactly.
And I want to know what catchphrase The Rock could steal from a man that was never given any mic time in WCW.
That's right.
You cut your promos on the way out to the ring with your brother. I don't understand what catchphrase did The Rock take from the guy that didn't get any mic time, any promo time. I don't remember Harlem Heat ever cutting a promo in WCW. And I watched WCW. I was a WCW head before WWF. I came into this wrestling thing on WCW. I don't remember Booker ever saying shit, except when he's walking out to the ring.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Well, on from some comparisons, you guys were talking about it. One of you guys in the Jobber Steer Network, you guys were having a debate or a topic about it. Who's the greatest worker of all time? Is it Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair?
It depends on what you look for. It depends on what you look for. Personally, I'm going to say Ric Flair. I understand why people say Shawn Michaels, because he can do it. He can do everything. He brings the acrobatics and is able to weave the story and all this. He brings an acrobatic element to it. But for Ric Flair, for me, like, especially since I started training too, like, he's a master of the basics. Ric Flair has the basics down to where pretty much all of his matches run the same. Mm-hmm. He goes in there, it don't matter who you are. You, kid, I'm going to make you. Kid with the blonde hair and the face paint. Come here, let me make you. Then you get Sting. Hey, you, kid with the long hair and the body. Let me make you. Luger. Hey, you, guy with the face paint and the foreign look. Let me do work with you. Muta. Ivan Kozlov. This guy, you could put him in his money with everybody. He goes in for 30, 40 years. It's like he has a formula when he goes in there. Certain key spots that he does. Like, Shawn Michaels gets a little more elaborate when he's in the ring. He gets more, and I understand that might be why people say Shawn is greater. But to me personally, I feel like the fact that Ric Flair is so basic and is able to weave so much and has able to build so much over time, make people, put people over. And like, that's why I just say Ric Flair. They gave him. They made this for him. They made this for him.
Yeah, that's what's
Ric
up.
Ric Flair was so good that Vince McMahon Sr., Vern Gagne, and a whole bunch of other mafioso heads from back in the day, the old WWF days and all that.
Yeah,
they all got together and they said, "You gonna be the one." 6 months after your back injury, your plane crash. You broke your back in a plane crash. You're going to come back. You're going to be the one. Yeah, Shawn Michaels missed 4 years because he broke his back off of a casket. Goddamn, Ric Flair missed 4 months after breaking his back out of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, man. I like both of them, man. So.
Me too. It's hard to say, like, It really at that point it's taste buds at that point.
You're right about that. We're gonna move on, you guys, to our last topic here on the podcast this week, AEW. What's your thoughts on AEW?
I don't like it.
Okay. Explain. Tell me about it, because a lot of people don't like it though.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not for me. I'm not gonna go full blown Jim Cornette on him, but it's very. They come off very amateur. They come off very. like they're still learning what they're doing. Like, and when I say learning what they're doing, I don't mean like as a television crew. I mean like as wrestlers. Like, you got a few guys in the, obviously you got Cody, obviously you got you know, Jericho, you know, fuck him too right now, but yeah, Hangman, we got a few guys in there like that, but like, you know, sometimes you just turn it on, it's just so goofy. It's just so goofy. It's real indie. It's like I like to call it, it's like the indie mecca. They get like the bunch of, and for that matter, you would think that they would hire like, they would try to get like, you know, better indie wrestlers. It kind of just feels like they're, I don't like the matches look sloppy. They do too much. It's all over the place. Like, everything is like the greatest thing you ever saw, but it's just like no one's selling anything, and it just looks like a bunch of people just jumping around on fire. And you know, I guess there's a market for that, but it's not for me. Like, the ring work isn't as tight. Like, that's the thing. The ring work isn't as tight, and then when they do stuff, it's like the most like death-defying, crazy, over the top shit. And it's just like, all right, man, just get to the point. It's too much.
Okay, that's what's up, man. I mean, a lot of people have said that. I heard a lot of people say that. And it's, you know, I think, and when you made the point that it's kind of like, you know, indies, the maker of the indies, and a lot of indie guys come there to work. But a lot of wrestling fans turn there because of the product that WWE puts on. So, and, you know, I was going to get your... Go ahead.
Be honest with you. When we talk about wrestling not being what it was back in the day, a lot of that is because of the fans. And I'm not saying that the fans are, I don't even say anything about the fan base is just different now. Mm-hmm. Like, the demand, like the supply and demand is different. Like, back in the day, like, we wanted to see like the big dudes. We wanted to see like the larger than life fairies. We wanted to see them talking that shit and then going in there, da 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 da. Now it's kind of like everybody's so smart to the business. They're so like, oh, how well can this guy work when most people don't even know what working means? Like they just want to see them do flips. They want to, a lot of cookie cutters, you know. I do a lot of the fans, and then that becomes toxic because you have fans here coming at Cardi B talking about, oh, how is she a real wrestling fan? She doesn't know the terminology work because not everybody's a fucking mark. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, marks have taken over the wrestling industry. Some have infiltrated it. And this is where we're at right now. It's kind of like the music industry, how the music industry went from like how you had to really have talent. Now it's about who makes the loudest noise and does the goopiest shit. That's what wrestling is now.
Yeah. You are right, man. You are right. Man, and I was asking you about AEW because Snoop Dogg popped up on there this past week, and I thought it was a crazy moment, you know, because they're promoting the TBS show Go Big Shot, and I was just like, my man, I was like, why is he going up to the top rope? I'm like, Snoop, you're going to hurt yourself. And then, you know, when they went to the commercial break, I realized, okay, that was the reason, I guess, he went to the top rope. It was a sloppy splash, though, but Snoop just...
That would have never happened in the WWE.
And that's why he never did it. He's a Hall of Famer, but he never did it.
They would have never let him get up there and embarrass himself and everybody. And everybody just, it's funny. No, it's not funny. It's phony. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I'm not gonna watch. Like, this is Saturday night miniature golf cartoons. This is like watching the Animaniacs right now, starring Snoop Dogg as a special guest. Like, I can't take this seriously. Like, and that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. People like this now. This is what people like. Just another point about like just celebrities though, like, and not taking it seriously. Mike Tyson came in not too long ago. He wasn't taking it seriously. You know what I'm saying? He was in Chris Jericho's face all pilled up, acting like a goof on television. It's not even exclusive to AEW. You go back to the WWE a few years ago, LeVar Ball was on Monday Night Raw with the Miz, acting a fool.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. Would he have acted like that with Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar in the ring?
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Look what they put out there now. Look what they put. Look who these wrestlers out here now, for the most part. Out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why folks is tapped out.
That's some real shit, bro. That's some real shit. What you think about Pat McAfee, though?
Oh my God, I agree with CM Punk. Everybody should be embarrassed and ashamed and use said emotion as motivation to get better, because this guy is washing y'all on the mic and putting on more exciting matches, putting on better matches. Like, this guy is both times, his match with Adam Cole, first of all, it's a testament to Adam Cole, but how great Adam Cole is. But secondly, the fact that Pat McAfee is able to step in there and look like he belonged with a main event talent champion, you gotta give him his credit.
You were right about that, man. You're right about that. Yo, my man Stan, man, I appreciate you joining me this week, man, on the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Before you go, man, any shout-outs, man, anything you would like to say, man?
Oh, yeah. Shout-out to the T2T Technique to Training School in Brooklyn Wrestling Academy. Shout-out to Brother Greatness, King of Chaos, Jake Gomez, my trainers, MV Young, and the promoter, the head cheese, Big Time. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Jobbiteers. You know what I'm saying? They family on that side. Shout out to Sparrow. Shout out to Year Sports. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all the Talking Champions fans. And last but not least, my lovely, my beautiful, amazing, talented co-host, Hennessy Hearts Dynasty. Catch us on Talking Champions. We will be back 121-21 on a Thursday. We're going to talk about all your favorite Royal Rumble moments over the years, because tis that season. Thank you, my brother, for having me on. I appreciate you, bro. We're going to have you on. Matter of fact, we'll talk after this, but you haven't seen the last of this.
I love your energy, man. I love your energy. You guys are going to talk about the Royal Rumble. Who you think going to win this year?
Woo! That's, that's why the Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view. Because it's the one time of the year I don't fucking know.
I enjoy it.
It's the one time of the year wrestling. I really get to sit down and enjoy wrestling for what it is, and I plan on doing it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Where my listeners can follow you at?
Oh, you can follow me at TheStanMichael on Instagram, StanTheMichael on Twitter. And also follow us on Talking Champions at Talking Champions on Instagram and at Talking Champs on Twitter. And Facebook. Like the Facebook page and all that in the group on Facebook. Facebook.com/Talk of Champions. We have a dope group. Join the group. There's always crazy discussion going on. I kick motherfuckers out that get out of pocket, ask about them. and it's just a dope time. It's a dope time. That's where we stream the show from too, by the way. We stream our show from our Facebook page. So yeah, tap into that. 121-21.
Okay, 121-21. You guys, you heard it. That's when Talking Champions come back. My guy Stan, I appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast. My guy, you know you're welcome anytime. My guy, gotta come on yours, man. I love the big gold belt, man. Keep representing, man. Black culture and wrestling, man, is very, very important, my guy. So, hey, 2021 is off to a start. I wish you the best. Keep doing your thing, my guy. And once again, appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night, sir.
Yo, Stan, man, it was dope chatting with you, man, on the podcast this week. Appreciate you joining me, man, my guy. Yo, your energy is dope. Man, Booker T is going off the wall, man. He's going off the wall talking about, The Rock stole his moves, man. Come on, Booker T. Come on, man. Can't wait to have you back on, man. Can't wait to be on your podcast. My guy, shout out to the whole Jobbiteers Network, your sports show, my guy Dre, a.k.a. Big Baby. So appreciate you guys, man. It was dope episode, man. Go follow us, Talk of Champions, you guys, and go listen to the podcast, you guys. They come back 1/21/21, January 21st, 2021, you guys. You're not going to want to miss that podcast. But you guys, man, before I roll and get up out of here, man, I want to thank you guys for tuning in each and every week on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. 1.7 thousand downloads of the podcast, you guys. I appreciate you coming back each and every week to hear me and my guests chop it up, talk some pro wrestling and all that good stuff. And also, you guys, before I go, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter at Dre on Wheels, Instagram at the 1130 Podcast, Facebook, like the 1130 Podcast on Facebook. Facebook, you dig, man? Like it on Facebook. Subscribe to the 1130 Podcast on YouTube right now, man. If you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. And also, you guys, man, the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. Follow me on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, leave a five-star rating and a review. Man, it will really, really help the podcast. And if you would like to be a guest here on the show, email me. That's the1130podcast@gmail.com. That's the1130podcast@gmail.com. Yes, man. What an episode this was. It was a great one. Talking some wrestling, man. As always, on a Friday. But Happy New Year's, you guys. Hope you guys stay safe. Appreciate you guys joining me on this episode. Happy New Year's. Yo, it's your man Dre, a.k.a. Dre on Wheels. I'm out.